Welcome back to Tales from the Walking Trails with me, Jo Yule. And today we're talking to the founder, Toby Clark, about his recent experience with coronavirus. He made a pretty swift recovery and he wanted to share his story to just eliminate some of the fear that other people may be feeling about the concept or the prospect of catching coronavirus. I'm here in Belgium, he is in Ibiza, and we are having this conversation via Zoom. So if this is something that you've been panicking about, reading about, freaking out about in the news, then this could be a story you really need to hear. Don't go away.
I realized that the dog was still alive.
We're here with Mr. Toby Clark of Walking Ibiza. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very good, very good. It's lovely to see your face looking so perky after recent experiences.
Indeed, I'm feeling very good, but I've been through a bit of a roller coaster the last few days.
What was the initial kind of process of feeling a change in your body?
So the sort of whole experience started that I happened to have been close to someone who I heard a few days later they got tested for COVID and they were tested positive. And then it was like, oh, shit, I've been close to that person, close to someone that was close to them. So it was like, what do I do? So went into sort of isolation to thinking, well, just have to see what happens. And it's been very, very hot here on Ibiza. So we've had the air conditioning on. And I started getting a tickle in the throat and I was like, oh no, I'm not getting it. No, I'm not. And then I stopped using the air conditioning and it went away. So I was like, that was just the air conditioning. And I was driving around a lot in the car with the air conditioning on. And then what happened is 5 days after I'd been in contact with this person, then I started to feel a bit sort of dizzy and hazy headed. You know, when you come down with the flu and it's just not 100%. And I still think, well, that's all right. I drink lots of water, but then I started to get very tired. So for about 2 days, I was sleeping a lot, like in the day. And I think, well, I'm not going to sleep tonight, but I'd still sleep through the night as well. And then I sort of started getting these weird pains internally, like muscle pains. And that was really as bad as it got. And for about two and a half days internally, and all the back muscles and everything was really, really achy. It's like all your muscles inside were fighting with each other or fighting the virus and giving this pain. And I didn't really sleep for about 2 days then. It was just too uncomfortable. I'd lie down, couldn't get up, couldn't turn, couldn't go to sleep. But it was stupidly hot here as well. So it was like air conditioning on, no, put it off, on, off. And then I got a bit of a time when I got the like a flu-like symptoms, which was, you know, when you get the shivering and that sort of stuff. And at the moment, in that moment, I was like, oh my God, this is quite bad. But actually, it wasn't at all. And then slowly, I've now come out of that. And it's been a total of 2 weeks now since I first had contact with the person. And I'm still not 100%, but I'm 95, 99% fine. And I still just get a few times in the day where, you know, you just don't feel 100%. But apart from that, that was really all that happened. So this is the crazy thing that, you know, we've been fearing this COVID. And oh my God, it's going to kill us all for all this time. And then I've had it and I was like, oh, is that it? And I'm not kind of trying to down it at all, because I know some people have had it seriously, seriously bad, but it sort of made me feel quite enlightened or happy that actually, wow, we don't have to fear this coronavirus as much as maybe the media and the governments are making us put into it, and all this lockdown and the amount of businesses they've cut out and everything else. And it really sort of made me think, I just felt like I need to share this with people to say, do not fear it as much as you maybe think you need to.
I guess that is obviously dependent on quite a lot of different elements of the equation in terms of, you know, people's immunity, their strength to fight disease, and, you know, how strong and physically fit they are. But I mean, one of the things that when we did talk about this previously is that you were sort of saying that, you know, you are very fit, you are very well, you eat well, you look after yourself, and obviously keeping your immune system healthy at these times is crucial. And that's something that you've been sort of taking care of in the run-up. So I guess it's very difficult to negotiate that kind of, you know, narrative of how much it's going to actually affect you personally until you have it.
Yeah, it's quite ironic how it all happened, because I've been doing a lot of walks and kayaking lately, so I'm actually quite fit. I've been doing like two activities every day, walking or kayaking. So, and I've been out in nature all that time, swimming in the sea and eating healthily and sleeping a lot. So I'm feeling pretty fit and healthy. And I do truly believe that that was a massive instigator in the reason why I only got mild symptoms from it. And I know other people that have had it as well, and some of them have got it worse, but I'd probably put them in the bracket where they're not that fit. I mean, I'm a little bit overweight probably, but there's some people that are much more overweight. And if you start looking at it, there's chances that if you're overweight and you get it, then that's a massive statistic that you're going to get it worse. That you're old, you're overweight, or you're even young and you're overweight, that's a massive statistic to getting it even worse. And it sort of got me thinking as to nowhere have I seen the government saying, wear a mask, but also eat healthy. And maybe lose a few stone that you've got at the moment, because if you lose that, you probably, if you do get it, you're only going to get it mildly. And that's very much anyway the way the government is. And I don't know if we should go down that slippery, slidey route of conspiracy theories, but for me, it was a massive, massive thing. And the people that I've seen that have got it and have been healthy, they've been like me. They've had 2 or 3 days of symptoms and then they got over it and moved on with life. And the people that have been overweight or maybe not have a good diet, they've maybe had it for the whole 2 week period that if you look online and what you believe, the period seems to be that it's a 5 day incubation period, then you get it. And then you, after the total period of 2 weeks, most people are over it and are okay. But a lot of people, it goes onto their chest and then you get the breathing problems and they have to go to hospital and everything else. But the ironic thing about being healthy is I like a little drink, as you know. I've maybe been having one or two, a drink with lunch or something, or the drink at the end of a walk, but then I've been going back and just getting on with my life and working. And this on a Saturday night before the symptoms came out on a Sunday, I had two beers and probably about 3 or 4 glasses of wine. And then I got it the next day. And of course, everyone's going, it's worse because you had the bloody drink, isn't it? And it's like,
come on, not the reason though.
Yeah, so it's like, what am I supposed to do? Not drink forever now, because drinking lowers your immune system and we all know that sort of stuff, and eating bad food does as well, and fried food. So was it because I had that drink that I got it, or was it just going to come along anyway? We'll never know the answer, but I've been off the drink since then anyway, so.
I think your mum put a really nice post from Walking Ibiza on Facebook. I read that a couple of days ago about, you know, this idea that you were talking about of, you know, that you're always out in nature and you're swimming in the sea and, you know, you're outside. And I guess your nervous system is also more in tune with, you know, the environment that you're in Ibiza, with the job that you do. It's more easy to kind of, you know, have less cortisol, have less of those kind of toxic chemicals in our system that are caused by stress and city life and, you know, crazy jobs and commitments, which obviously isn't really, you know, quite the way that you live your lifestyle in Ibiza and the people that come on the walk. So I think, you know, you're in an advantage position from that first instance because you are living a healthy outdoors life. And I think that definitely influences, as we talked about, you know, your immunity is obviously going to be a lot higher. So I think, you know, you're actually encouraging people through getting out into nature and the job that you do to actually be a lot healthier at the moment and have more of a chance to tackle something like COVID-19.
Yeah, 100%. It's about keeping healthy, especially at the moment. There's been no more important time in recent years for everyone to be healthy. But I'm unfortunately seeing so many people not be healthy, and they're using it as the excuse of, oh, I'll have a pizza. Oh, it's lockdown. I'm just going to have a pizza because what else am I going to do? You know, and they need to wake up a little bit and realize that they do need to be healthy. And the people, generally the people that have been coming on the walks in the last couple of months, which has been super hot here, so the people coming on the walks as low, you know, 10, 15 people maximum on the walks, they're all super healthy, fit people. And it's a choice. You can either make that choice or you can't. And if you are worrying, and most of them are people not living in fear as well. You know, they're going, I'm not going to get COVID. I'm fit and healthy. I'm going to go out walking. I'm going to get in that sea. And I was one of those as well. So it was really ironic that I've had it and I shouldn't have got it in theory because I'm fit, healthy and everything else. Was it because I had those few drinks too many? Was it because my mind got a bit lax and thought, oh, I might get it because I met this person? Who knows? But I have had it and I feel like I've had it for a reason. And even if I can just help one or two people say, okay, I'm going to make that change in my life. I'm going to go out for an hour's walk every day. I'm going to go swimming in the sea. I'm going to have a salad instead of a pizza for lunch. Then that's what I'm hoping to do, just to help a few people to get over it and not to fear it so much. You know, it's my personal experience, and it's only mine. I know a lot of people have had some worse experiences. And what they're actually seeing out there statistically, whether you believe the statistics or not, who knows what, the statistics are saying that people are getting it now and they're getting less symptoms as well. So whether the virus is losing its power or whatever, who knows? But I think it's we don't need to fear it as much. And if you do get it, not embrace it, you know, but do the best that you can with it. And the other interesting thing I decided to do when I got it is I actually decided to fast. So there's this thing that I do intermittent fasting anyway, but I thought, well, hang on, I've got this virus and the best thing to do is actually to stop eating, which people might go, what are you doing? You're ill and you're not going to eat. But actually the best thing, because then your body can use all the energy to fight the virus and not to digest the food. So I was drinking lots of water. I was eating maybe a tiny bit a day, but for the 2 days I didn't really eat. And I believe as well that was another reason why I got over it quickly as well. So, and I was taking natural supplements. I was taking a lot of zinc. There's a lot of stuff out there that says zinc is very good. So I was taking a lot of zinc, vitamin C, and I got this lovely concoction made by the natural health shop in Santilalia, which they did a great concoction for me, all of natural herbs. So I was shotting that 3 or 4 times a day. So I did everything I feel like I could do to get over it quickly, recover quickly. And I was doing meditations as well. I was in my room isolated for most of the time, but to do regular meditations to keep positive and keep that way, which it wasn't possible the whole time. You know, some of the times I was feeling shit and I couldn't be bothered to do a meditation. But when I did have that moment, I was like, okay, just listen to a meditation. I'll even fall asleep listening to it. But it's that good vibe is going in. So I think all of that helped to get me over it quickly.
I think you've got such a positive, inspiring mindset, to be honest with you, Toby, because I remember visiting you in hospital when you had that big operation on your back and you were like, I don't want anything, just bring me good food. That's all you said to me. And, you know, obviously you were in hospital. Nutrition-wise, we all know being in hospital is not the best place to recover. And you have to have people that are going to bring you what you need. And you've obviously taken these amazing steps. You've the fasting, I mean, brilliant, absolutely amazing idea. Obviously 70% of our energy within our, you know, vessel is taken up digesting food. So I think that was definitely a powerful decision to make and probably not one that many people would have the strength to go down that route, because obviously when you feel ill, you think you just need more food for energy, but actually, you know, you're going to have more energy by not eating, because all of that energy that goes into digestion is just like immense. So I think that was a cracking move, but I think that your positive mentality, the meditation have obviously helped you enormously. But at what point when you got ill, did you go and have a test? Did you have a test? How did you know that you had it?
No, I actually haven't had a test. So the person who I got it from did have a test, and it cost a fortune here. It cost €160 to have a test here. You can't get one. I think you can get one for free if you register on the app and then they track you forever and da-di-da-di-da-di-da. So I decided not to have the test. I was 99% sure that's what I've had. And yeah, you could say, okay, I haven't had COVID because I haven't had the test. But everyone seems so willing to run to the hospital as soon as they got a tickly throat, spend a fortune on getting a test, and then they don't do anything. They just go, yeah, you got COVID, and you end up a statistic, and they don't even recommend what you do. They give you no advice at all. So I thought, well, what's the point going and getting this thing stuck up your bloody nose, which is an awful experience, I've heard. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. So people watching this go, oh, well, you haven't really had COVID. Maybe I haven't. I don't know, but I feel like in my mind I have had it, and all the symptoms were there. Very, very similar symptoms to the person who tested positive that I got it from. I'm pretty sure I got it from, not 100%. And all our symptoms were very, very similar. So that's why I think I have had it. And should I go and get tested? Who knows? Maybe I should. But I know there's a lot of other people now that are not bothering getting tested because it's just a money-making thing for the hospitals, I think. And most of the tests are not accurate anyway. If you go and look at the statistics for how accurate the tests are, they'll even tell you that they're not very accurate, and maybe you need 3 tests to truly get the accuracy right. So for me, it just was a waste of time, and putting myself in the environment where I've got to go to the hospital, all the stress of it, and in that environment where there probably is people with COVID, it just didn't make sense to me to go and put myself at that risk. I thought self-isolate, get better at home, and do that process, which I believe is another reason why I cured quickly as well.
I actually did go and have an operation during all of this, actually, since COVID started, on my ankle to remove a spider bite lump from when I was in India. It was just out of control, but I must admit, it was really stressful going into that environment, and I wasn't nervous really about catching COVID. And I think actually the hospital, they're taking so much measures to keep things safe and clean that actually it's probably one of the best places to be right now, even though the experience felt stressful and you probably have a fear factor about going into that environment. But I think that this fear situation, as we've talked about, is one of the most detrimental parts to our actual health, and particularly our mental health. But I was chatting to my yoga teacher friend in India, who's an Ayurvedic doctor, and he was saying, you know, the initial thing in India was that everyone was very fearful, and that is now reaching a decline. And I think that that's actually enabled the recovery rate to peak faster. And I actually really believe that's the thing, because as you said, you know, you weren't scared when you had it. You didn't go down the rabbit hole, you know, really thinking, Christ, this could be the end of me. You did all the positive steps and you actually dealt with it in a way that, you know, kept you quite grounded.
Well, I will just say I did have a few moments of, oh, my God. And I remember having one thought of that. Oh, my God, I might die of this, because that's what I've been told. And I did actually have that thought. You know, I'm trying to remain positive, but I'm not all the time. And I remember, I think I got a bit tearful about it, going, oh my God, what happens if this goes bad? And I've had a history of having asthma in my previous times. So I thought, oh my God, it's going to go, and then you just have to come back and really be positive about it. But I could have gone down that awful route if I wanted to. And I've got to go to the hospital. I'm one of the high risk people, but I feel like I'm not. And I felt like I handled it the best way that I could. So it was a strange old thing that, we all get that fear. And then you start to really look at it. And once I got it, I was back on the Facebook, back on the news, looking at all the news, reading all the stuff about it. And I thought, no, what am I doing again? I'm going down that slippery slope of believing all that media. And I think one thing that COVID has really taught us is I'm hoping that nearly now 99% people in the world know that the media is basically full of shit. And most of what it's reporting is so hyped up, it is just ridiculous. And this is what it's been going on for years. You know, they sell newspapers and they sell now online advertising, so they need to. But I think everyone's really seen a bit of the truth. Even the people that didn't believe the media was full of hype, they now really know that really you can't trust anything in the media, especially all the tabloids and everything else, and most of the news channels, Sky and Fox and all those ones. So I shouldn't be naming them, actually, really, shouldn't I? But most of those normal news channels are very, very difficult to trust with the information they're putting out. And the best thing you can do is turn it off and make up your own mind about what's happening and with your own group of friends and that. But do not digest all of the bollocks and the bullshit that these media operations are putting out to us, because it's just awful what they do. They should be taken to court and held accountable for all the misfigures and everything else they put out. Which now most of the figures that were out at the beginning when we went into the lockdown, most of the governments have now pulled them back and said, oh, actually, we made a mistake and we don't need to be so worried about it. So it's quite crazy. And a great thing I heard the other day, you probably know I like looking at the stars and the moon and everything. And we've got this asteroid that's coming super close to the Earth. I don't know, September the 10th, something like that. So there's this asteroid that's coming by and it's going to be quite a show, apparently. So I'm looking into it. And I saw a statistic on there that it said that the chance of it hitting Earth, you know, don't worry, it's quite thousands and thousands of miles away, and the chance of it hitting Earth is 0.41%. So you think, well, I'm not even going to lose sleep over that. But you know the chance, the official statistic for the chance of dying of COVID is 0.3%. So we're more likely to die in the next 10 days of the asteroid hitting Earth than you are of dying of COVID. And I was like, okay, that puts it into perspective.
I mean, the whole thing is exactly that. It's just massive, massive amounts of fit. I mean, don't forget, you know, that's kind of a funny thing that you've just been saying. I am actually, as you know, a newsreader. So I've been doing my journalism job throughout all of this, particularly in lockdown in India. And I have had to read about death all day, every day, which drove me to start my own Good News podcast. And I think, you know, we have seen personally, I've experienced, you know, that kind of mental infiltration on a permanent daily basis, like of how that is to talk about that topic all day, read about that topic all day. And I've actually really managed to kind of compartmentalize, I think, and just push things to one side. Because I think if you actually engage with that narrative all day, every day, you are going to lose your mind. But mm-hmm. I think what we have seen is an upsurge of outlets of good news. There's been, you know, some really, really great channels and things that have opened up, I think, throughout all of this in lockdown, that people have really, really needed to latch onto those good news channels, which I'm really, really pleased about that. I think that's, the world needs right now is good news, and there's so much of it. But as you say, it never gets reported. And the fact that it's 0.3% to, you know, of the possibility of catching or dying?
Dying.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just feels very improbable. I mean, it's interesting though, because a lot of people that I've been speaking to in Ibiza that are friends of mine actually do have it right now. When I left about 2 weeks ago, no one had it. It wasn't really a thing. Of course, until obviously the island opened up to quite a lot of tourism for those two peak months of the season. And, you know, you understand that the economy needed a boost, but it's, you know, it's very difficult to sort of assess how serious or whether that was a good idea or not. But, you know, time will tell.
Who knows?
And how are you feeling about it now? I mean, did Belinda catch it? How is she?
No, she's fine. So Belinda hasn't got it. And no one else in the family's got it either. So we were all in proximity by association to each other. And no one else has got it, only me. So it's very interesting. I've also met quite a few people who have got it. And even they're in intimate relationships with their partner or husband or boyfriend or whatever, and they haven't ended up getting it either. So it seems like sometimes it doesn't have any rule or any certainty, which is, I guess, is why it's so difficult for the government to know what to do. You know, do they shut down again? The mask thing, does it help? Doesn't it help? Who knows? I don't think we're going to go down that rabbit hole now. But it's crazy. It doesn't seem to have a true thing that if you touch that person, you're going to get it. And for some reason, I did get it. And it seems some people are saying more men get it than women. I don't know if that's true worldwide or not, but some people are saying that as well. But to reiterate about Ibiza, there's still only 12 people that have died of COVID. That's the official government figure. And most of those came out of an old people's home. So they were all very old. And I'm not saying that... there's anything wrong or right with that, but that's the figure. But yeah, I think the official figure is actually getting pretty high on Ibiza. I think something like the official figure yesterday was 800 people have it on Ibiza as of today. And that's only the people that have gone in and had the test. And I know at least half a dozen who haven't bothered to go and get the test. So it's everywhere. But again, why are we worrying about all this horrible stuff with COVID and we're going to die and everything? Because we're not. Yes, you might get mild flu. Yes, you might even have quite a nasty flu for 2 weeks, but most people get over it and move on. And I live here all year, as you know. And in January, I got the flu, and I actually got it pretty bad. It was the 31st of January, 31st of December, the 1st of January that I got it, because I remember. And I got it really bad, and I was actually knocked out worse than this. So I had a flu in January that was worse than what I've got now. And some people have said, well, maybe that was COVID back in January. Maybe it might be, and this is my second time of getting it. I don't know. Who knows? But really, you know, the normal flu goes around on Ibiza, and it does go around. It goes around, and everyone suddenly gets ill in the winter months. And here we are in a similar thing, but they've shut down the whole island. They've closed everything off. All bars are down to 50% now. You know, it's just they're slowly saying they're going to close it all down again. So it's, and the amount of people here that are really, really, really up shit creek without a paddle is rising. And there's a huge amount of people that can't even afford to eat now. They don't have enough money to eat. So there's this great organization, Food for Ibiza, that's literally getting food from supermarkets to feed these people. And it's only going to get worse. You know what happens in Ibiza in the winter? The income goes down. It's already stopped now. My business has gone straight away. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get way worse than if they just had COVID, got over it and moved on. And that's my feeling for it. And depression, anxiety, mental health. You know, the only place in the hospital that's ever been had a problem with that they can't accept people into it during this whole period since February is the mental health department. They've actually had to turn people away because they haven't got enough people to deal with all the people with mental health problems because of this. And the wards taking COVID have been empty. So it's just crazy. And to try and comprehend what is truly going on in this world at the moment, who knows? We just don't know. And I don't know. And I could talk about my theory, and I'm sure you could talk about your theory, but we don't really know at the end of the day. Are there some aliens up there controlling us and having a game show with us? That seems to make the most sense to me, to be honest, because no other way makes any sense.
I just think the mental health angle is terrifying. And I interviewed Zadie Frost yesterday for the Reset Rebel podcast. She just made a film called Contact in lockdown with her son, Rafferty Law. And, you know, that's a film about, you know, the struggles that young people are having with the mental health who've been in isolation. One of her best friends, children killed themselves during isolation, like, you know, and, you know, there's some tragic stories. Yeah, and I think it's just going to reach fever pitch, I think, in the knock-on effect of that time that's been spent alone and the unhealthy habits that people have developed, and particularly the people that have been on their own during all of this, you know, including my 83-year-old father, who sees no one. I sometimes call him some days and his voice is so croaky and I'm like, are you okay? He's like, oh, I haven't spoken to anybody for a couple of days. I mean, just tragic and heartbreaking. Yeah. Of course, I call him every day where I possibly humanly can, but some days I just can't and I'm really, really busy. And, you know, it's just the heartbreak of old people who are so fearful to go out of their front door. One of my mum's friends' couples, like, they haven't been out for 6 months, not even to the supermarket, because they're petrified and they're in a high-risk category. It's like, this is like bonkers. As you said, the actual probability is so minuscule, and yet some people aren't even going out of their homes for 6 months, and, you know, people are dying from their mental health issues that are going to overwhelm the next 6 to 12 months of their life, and that's just terrifying.
More people are dying of suicide and cancers, and people are now afraid if they're getting symptoms of having cancer or having an illness, they're not going to the hospital. So that's only going to get worse and worse and worse with time, because more people are staying at home going, oh, I can't go and get this looked at because I'm not allowed out because of COVID and I'm fearful of getting COVID. So I'll just stay at home, and then they get worse and worse and worse. So we're going to see more issues with that than we're ever going to have seen with COVID, you know, and all the people dying every day anyway of cancer, which is awful, and mental health and suicide and all those other things is just crazy. And why they're so focused on this COVID thing, which isn't as crazy as they're saying it is, only my opinion, is just beyond nearly everyone now. I meet very few people that go, oh, yeah, I totally agree with what's happened and that everything is the way it should be. You know, those words don't come out of many people's mouths at the moment, do they?
I want to wrap this up on a more positive note. And I feel like one of the things that is not talked about that much and really blew me away when I actually was in India reading the papers quite a bit, obviously for my work, but I saw that Abhita in the wonderful hospital that I visited you in when you had your bad back, in the Rosario, the private hospital, were giving people ozone therapy, and the recovery rate was huge and incredibly successful. And I think this is not something that's been talked about enough, you know, that this is something. I mean, personally, if I, you know, were to go down with it, I would really want to go there and be treated with that exact therapy, because I think what an amazing, you know, discovery that to actually, you know, immerse people with just extra oxygen and clean air. And actually is providing, obviously, with this, particularly with the respiratory situations. But, you know, the other story that really inspired me as well over that period was when there was a lady and she was honestly on her last legs. And then they actually, someone in America, a doctor rang up and spoke to the physician, was like, you just need to turn her on her front. And within half a day, she was fine. Like, honestly, there's some crazy, crazy science that's, you know, there's so much learning to be had from all of this. And I think the fact that we are evolving a lot faster, the fact that the vaccine, maybe we shouldn't talk about that, but, you know, there's a lot of like fast forwards that are happening in the scientific sense that, you know, people are working harder and faster than ever before to try, you know, but you just think, why aren't they doing that for things like cancer? And, you know, but I think on the whole, I think Abhita has taken a very positive spin on things and has really found a way to heal people in that particular unit, which I don't think has had enough attention. And I think it's a very positive thing that the recovery rate is actually really starting to rise.
you know, the on Ibiza has been quite amazing because we've only had these 12 deaths even now. I don't think there's been a death for like 2 months or something like that. And the amount of people in a hospital is very, very low even now, considering we've now officially got these 800 cases. And that was yesterday, so it's probably even more than that now. And I think there's still only like six people in intensive care, which is six people too many. I totally agree. But it's great how, yeah, with this ozone therapy that I read about when they were doing that, is being positive and really getting people back on their feet and back out again. I don't know, if just want to touch on one last thing as well, that there seems to be this great shame about getting COVID. I know since I've had it, a few people even said to me, don't tell anyone. Do not tell anyone you've got it, because people would think you got leprosy and they won't come anywhere near you. And I was going, what do you mean? Everyone knows about COVID. We all know the reasons. If we self-isolate and look after ourselves, then I think that people do need to share that they've got it. You know, put a post up on that wonderful thing called social media. If you only want to send me a message to tell me you've got it and I'll support you through it. But I couldn't comprehend why there was this sort of shame of this thing of not telling anyone you've got it. You know, it's a thing that you can't help getting. You're not doing anything to say, hey, I want to have it and everything. It's a thing that goes around and you either get it or you don't. And yes, you can do things to prevent yourself, as we've said already, with being healthy and diet and that. But if you get it, tell people about it. Don't go into the shame thing of going into your room and not telling anyone about it. You know, get out there and tell people you've got it, because you need to speak about it and have people interacting with you and giving you positive vibes to get back on your feet again. So I think that's a thing that we need to get over and embrace it if you've got it, and then you'll get rid of it and move on and be healthy into the future.
Absolutely. I mean, there's really, as you said, there's nothing shameful about that. I think what really is a little bit shameful, and I know we shouldn't go into it, is just the fact that, you know, people aren't being encouraged to up their game in the immunity stakes and look after themselves better, and all these other, you know, possibilities for cure are being suggested, when really we just really need to look after ourselves right now, like you have done. And you know, I hope that you will continue to do so that you'll be back out there, yeah, you know, encouraging people to walk more and keep their nervous systems well as well, because this is, you know, the moment to really get out there and get into nature and, you know, try not to, as you say, consume too much of this news and bad news. But I think that this has been a very positive experience for you to share.
Totally.
So thank you for that.
A pleasure. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that a few people are helped with it. That's the main reason for doing it.
Katie Clark, Walking Ibiza, thank you so much.
Thank you. I've got a pile of gold hidden out beneath the snow on a hill above a lake. There's a place I sit and wait and think of the things I should say when I'm with